So I had a mustache. Excuse me. Sorry. What am I going to do? Get to the dais of Christ? And Christ is going to say to me, "Oh, you would have made it, boy. You would have made it, boy, but you had a mustache." And we know that all holy people must shave their mustaches. You may have a beard all day, and it may grow to ZZ Top proportions down to your Texas belt buckle. But do not have a mustache, and that includes you women. And so the Amish and the Mennonites, the men, including the women, they all shave their mustaches. It's incredible. It's indelible. Indelibly printed upon my mind. Anyway, back from my days of living in Ohio, where I encountered Amish and Mennonites on a regular basis. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender, and hopefully, yes, today, going to finish up with the saga of the Mennonite yard sign, and this is it. Now, my fantasy went on as I regaled you yesterday about my fantasy of confronting the Mennonists about the sign, "God shows mercy to the merciful." But on this particular Thursday, at around noon, I was ready to see that stupid sign again. But lo and behold, there was a new sign put in the little Mena slot. The Mena slot on the Mena sign. It was Mena put into the Mena post. And it said this. This is what it said. And I was dumbfounded. Quote, "Judas, : once saved, , forever lost." Let me say that again, even though it hurts me to do so. Maybe I should grow a mustache out of rebellion before I read this again. "Judas, : once saved, , forever lost." And then underneath this gospel, in quotation marks, in parentheses, it said, "See Acts 1:25. My first thought was, quote, "Dear God, Moses, Abraham, and Lot, why me? Why must I suffer so much upon this veil of tears? Is it fair that I, Martin Zender, have been made a modern-day apostle, a sent one, a teacher, a bearer of the glad tidings of God, who becomes then so sensitive that he is cut by these travesties, these scripture-twisting monstrosities that have no other purpose than to condemn a poor guy who's not even here to defend himself? Why must I be a light in the darkness, Lord, a fine-tuned discerner of all things dark?" That's what I considered myself back then, and still do, in fact, a fine-tuned discerner of all things dark. Oh, and what darkness, yes. Poor Judas. Seriously, I always felt sorry for this guy. He was a man set apart by God from his mother's womb for a dishonorable use. He was a vessel of dishonor, set apart for this purpose. Prophesied about 1,000 years before his birth. Chosen by Christ himself. Christ said, "I've chosen all of you, and is not one of you an adversary?" He chose Judas because he was an adversary. Oh, I thought Judas was going to be a fine feathered friend. Turns out, he's going to turn against me. Christ is surprised by this. Christ is lamenting. Christ is ready to shave his mustache and say, "Oh, why did I choose Judas? He turned out so badly." No, it was tough for him to choose Judas, of course, because in his flesh, he doesn't want to be betrayed by a friend. And this man, possessed in the end by none other than Satan himself, this man was steamrolled by the God machine of divine inevitability. Yes, that's, I'll call it that. The God machine. Sometimes this is terrible, I shouldn't admit this to you, but sometimes I look when things get tough and I see how God chooses people and he hardens hearts. It seems like a God machine of divine inevitability. It rolls on, it's going to happen, it has to happen. Judas had to do what he was called by God to do. And that man was steamrolled. I am sorry, Judas was steamrolled by the God machine of divine inevitability. And then when he was freed at last from the demonic oppression, God sent the demonic oppression, sent Satan to steamroll Judas Iscariot. When Judas was at last delivered from that oppression, he was remorseful. He became self-loathing. He hung himself. That's how much he hated what he did. Like, who was it? What did I do? How could I have done that? Look what happened. Hangs himself. The rope breaks. He falls upon the rocks, disemboweled. They entomb him. And that's bad enough. All these things happen to the man when he's alive. And yet, on this particular Thursday, he is disinterred, rudely disinterred by a gangle of dessert-baking religious hypocrites, mustacheless, skirt-wearing, omelet-producing religious morons. He's disinterred, dragged from his peaceful sleep. Judas is hung from a new tree, hung from a new kind of wooden post in somebody's, in a Mennonite front yard, used, abused, disemboweled once again. Only this time his bowels are wrapped around a Mennonite signpost put out for the admonition of people, innocent people like me, who are just walking by trying to get through life. And I'm confronted with this poor, disinterred, re-disemboweled person and told that he was once saved and forever lost. And what did I do to deserve it? What are you trying to tell me? Mennonite? What are you trying to tell me? Once saved, forever lost. Oh, let that be an example to you, a person with mustache driving red car. Let that be a lesson to you. You who have never fertilized a carrot or baked a loaf of bread. Beware. Acts chapter 1, verses 24 and 25? Seriously? You're kidding. Acts 1, 24, 25. That's your reference for Judas, once saved, forever lost. That's your reference? Oh, that's your reference. We'll see about this, because I have a Bible. And I know how to use it. And I'm dangerous with it. Let's go to Acts 1. Chapter 24 and 25. The disciples are praying. They're going to replace Judas Iscariot because he hung himself from a tree after Satan dispossessed him and he realized how crappy what he did was. He realized he was steamrolled by the God machine of divine inevitability. Sorry to refer to it as that, but that's the mood I'm in today. Thou, Lord, knower of all hearts, indicate one whom thou choosest out of the... I hate the King James language. Hate it! Why does the concordant version retain it? I'm getting rid of it. Let me concentrate. You, Lord, you know all hearts, indicate one who you choose out of these two. What two? Oh, they nominate two. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. So they had two guys who seemed qualified. The 12, this is the 11 apostles. They're bereaved of Judas. They need 12 or they're screwed. You have to have 12. That's the magic number. And so they have two guys come forward who they put forward who are worthy to take the mantle. One's Joseph, one's Matthias. And praying, they say, Lord, you know, you're the discerner of all hearts. Indicate one that you choose out of these two to take the place of this dispensation and apostleship from which Judas transgressed. That's true. Relative viewpoint, Judas transgressed. Judas blew it. I'm the mayor of Relativeville. I understand the relative viewpoint. Judas blew it. Judas was a jerk. Judas did a wrong thing. Judas was bad. Shame on you, Judas. Why did you do that? You're going to be judged at the great white throne. I get it. That's the relative viewpoint. I'm the mayor of Relativeville. I get it. But I'm also the president of the absolute viewpoint. And that would be that God steamrolled Judas. He was foreordained to be a vessel of dishonor. And Christ chose him for that reason. Christ didn't pick 12 great guys and then went, oh, wow, I could have had a V8. I could have chosen another guy instead of Judas because look what a louse he turned out to be, and he has a mustache. So it wasn't that way at all. Jesus said, don't I choose all of you and one of you is an adversary? He chose him because he was an adversary. It was a tough choice. He liked choosing Peter. Peter was a little teddy bear of a fisherman. And he knew that Peter was goofy and that, you know, he could talk to Peter. Peter would get it. Andrew, James, all these guys are great. Matthias, Bartholomew, John, James. Great. But then he had to pick Judas. And he's like, oh, I know this is the one. I know this is the one who's going to betray me. But big whoop. Because his father had told him already in the scriptures, I'd already testified that he was the Messiah and he was the coming one and he would be cut off. Daniel prophesied that thousands of years before his birth. After 69 sevens, Messiah will be cut off and there will be no adjudication for him. So he already knew that he was going to die. And it had to happen through, he could have marched into the temple himself and said, here I am. I claim to be the Messiah. You're not digging that, and so you're going to kill me because you're jealous of me. Because I'm taking away all your people. So somebody still had to play this role, and it fell upon Judas. So here they are trying to pick a new guy, and they gave lots for them. Oh, I missed the most important part. Here's what the Mennonites wanted me to learn as I walked past here. See Acts 1:25. Okay, I'm doing that now. To take the place of this dispensation and apostleship from which Judas transgressed, to be gone into his own place. That's it. To be gone into his own place. Judas is gone into his own place. That's it. No more, no less. The word eternity's not here. The word fire's not here. The word torment's not here. Hell, it's nowhere in the context. Judas simply went to his own place, which was what? Hades. What's Hades? It's invisibility. It means the unseen. It's the grave. It's the same place Paul is now. He went to his own place. His own place is his grave, where there is silence, where there is no praise of God, no voices, no shouting, no angst, no heat, no cold, no distress, no mustaches, no lack of mustaches, no bread, no carrots, no brownies. Nothing in the grave. No gaggle of omelets playing in their Sinai sandbox. Nothing. And that's where Judas went, to his own place. To take that passage and to throw it up on a wooden missive and to present it to innocent passersby, that to use it illegally, to condemn, to disinter a poor man who's now asleep. Thank God Judas has rested from his pain. He's no longer in anguish. He's going to be raised at the great white throne and be judged according to his acts. His acts weren't too hot. Probably going to go to the lake of fire, which is the second death. Going to die again. Going to be more peace, more quiet, more lack of brownies. And Judas is going to then be reconciled to God at the consummation when death is abolished. Yes, he's going to miss out on the kingdom. Yes, he's going to miss out on the kingdom. Mennonites? But so are you. You have a lot in common with Judas, I hate to tell you. Because you, like Judas, are going to miss out on the kingdom. You, like Judas, are betrayers of Christ. You have betrayed the work of Christ, who died to save the likes of Judas. Even Gabriel, in the four accounts of the Gospels, which you people love, says Jesus Christ came into the world. No, this is, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That was John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Oh, and it was Matthew 1, chapter 1, when Gabriel said to Joseph this one is to be for the taking away of the sins of Israel. The sins of Israel. Yeah, the sins of Israel are all going to be forgiven. Judas was an Israelite, and his sin will also be forgiven. It won't be forgiven in this age or in the eon to come, this eon or the eon to come, but it will be completely erased because Jesus Christ came to take away the sins of his people. And if he doesn't do it, then he's a liar. And if Judas is the only one he doesn't do it for, he's still a liar. It doesn't matter if you miss 100,000 or if you miss one. I read that Jesus Christ is the shepherd, the good shepherd that seeks the lost sheep, and he will leave the fold of the 99 to seek the one lost sheep. And I will make a case for Judas being the one lost sheep. I'll make a case for that. And I'll make a case for Christ being a failure if he does not reconcile Judas Iscariot eventually and bring him back into the fold of God. Yes, he will do that. Let Judas be the test case. Oh, what a stubborn man. How dare he? And then look, and this is what you're trying to do. Mennonite people and all people who condemn Judas to hell for eternity, this is what you're trying to do. He went into his own place. Where's eternal torment there? Oh, he's going to miss out on the kingdom. I acknowledge that. He's going to be raised at the great white throne and judged. I acknowledge that. What do you do with him then? You know what I do with him? I vivify him and I justify him because he was an Adam. As an Adam, all are dying. 1 Corinthians 15:21 through 23, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, made alive beyond the reach of death, including Judas Iscariot.